Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Warren Lance, and are you ever in for a treat this evening? The individual that I have joining us this evening actually has worked in the timeshare, Australia's largest timeshare organization, as a regional sales manager. She got exposed to Isagenix. I'm going to let her share that story, how she got exposed. But as a result of her exposure to Isagenix, she's now viewing Isagenix as a pretty incredible business opportunity. In fact, she's gone on to win 3 ISA Derbies. She's gone to Cambodia, San Diego, Hawaii, and she was the winner of the President's Quest. So this individual has been in massive, massive action. She's been in Isagenix now for almost 2 years, and her partner have gone 4-star crystal or golden circle, 1-star crystal executive. It's my absolute privilege to bring to the line this evening, Crystal Wilson. How are you doing, Crystal?
I'm so good, Warren. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It was such a treat seeing you on the main stage at Celebration in Australia. And let me tell you, you were speaking about leveraging Facebook. And I'm going to ask that we do a call on that. I know we're going to be talking about objections this evening, and it's something that you're pretty big on. But I think, like, overcoming objections, but I also saw you on stage for about 20 minutes talking about the Facebook stuff, and, I mean, you were remarkable. I mean, what you shared for many people in the audience was a game changer, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. I remember being on stage and seeing you looking at me intently, and it definitely gave me the courage to keep going, and I was doing a good job, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Now, what I would like to ask before we get into the secrets of overcoming objections, because let me tell you, I want to hear all about it, but how did you get exposed to Isagenix? Here you are working in the timeshare industry. You're a regional sales manager. I mean, in timeshare, I mean, you can do extremely well in timeshare if you're a good salesperson, and clearly you are. How did you ever get exposed to Isagenix?
Very good question. Well, my first exposure was through Facebook. I was seeing a few people, you know, sharing the results on Facebook, and I spent about a year sitting on the fence, and I was doing lots of research though because I was really intrigued, and I got even more intrigued when people started sharing what they were earning. That's when I was like, oh, okay, you can lose weight and make money, this sounds perfect. And then I went to a hairdresser one day and she told me she was doing a cleanse, and I said, you're not doing Isagenix, are you? And she was like, yes I am. And she had just been enrolled by our new Isagenix millionaire, Jackson Parr. So she hooked me up on a 3-way with Jackson Parr. And I basically just started straight away and was really, really excited to start.
Well, it was game over. And what a brilliant hairstylist. I mean, think about this. Here she's doing your hair, and she just coincidentally brings up the fact that she's doing a cleanse, and that was the hook. You've been hearing about Isagenix from people. You've been seeing results on Facebook for almost a year. Curious, but she just happens to catch you at the right time where you say, yeah, I'm interested. And then she did
the
real cool thing, and so many of us out there, me included, you get someone interested. Instead of trying to tell you everything about it, she did the 3-way call. She introduced you to someone else, Jackson Parr, Isagenix millionaire, and she allowed Jackson to answer your questions, and in fact, as a result of that, ended up enrolling you and your partner, Bruce.
Yes. It's pretty incredible, actually, now when you put it like that, Warren. Yes, that's exactly how it went down.
Well, and I mean, that's the way it's supposed to go down, Crystal. I mean, there's so many people. I work with so many individuals, and I have this one lady, I've given her a hard time more than once. real strong recruiter. And then what ends up happening is she'll get them in and then nothing seems to happen. And I gave this one individual a little bit of a hard time. Go, why aren't you using me for three-way calls? Let me help you set them up for success and get them excited about a bigger vision. And she goes, Warren, I don't want to disturb you. I mean, you're real busy. And I'm going, I mean, that's the best utilization of my time. That's the best utilization of Jackson Parr's time for her to get you on the phone with him and allow him to paint that bigger picture. And clearly it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at that buying line. Like, I'd spent a year researching, and she just had me at the right time, and she did not hesitate. And, you know, kudos to Brody Lee. I'm sure she'll listen in. Is that I was at my buying line. I was ready to go. She mentioned it. She's like, I'm going to hook you up with Jackson. He's incredible. If she had not done that, you know, maybe this all would have happened. Do you know what I mean? Thank God she got me on a three-way call with Jackson, because she wasn't in a position to really share really what the whole vision was, because she hadn't achieved that herself yet.
So that being said, just thinking back, because I know you've been in Isagenics for almost 2 years now, if you think back to that conversation, because I think this is really important. I mean, there's lots of leaders that dial in every week or download the podcast and listen to this. What were some of the things that stand out in your mind, reflecting back again from almost 2 years ago, but what were some of those things that Jackson said to you that really intrigued you, that made you say, yeah, I want to give it a go?
Look, I can't remember exactly what Jackson said. I know he was enthusiastic and he had energy, and he actually scared me a little bit in a good way, because the first thing, after we spoke, he was like, when are you free? So we not only did we have a three-way call, the next thing was he set a meeting. He drove an hour to my house. So we had the call on Friday, and on Monday morning at 10 a.m. he was at my house, an hour away from where he lived, drawing out the comp plan, showing me, painting that vision for me. And that's really, you know, incredible. I think that's the key, is Jackson was like right on it, you know what I mean? He didn't use convenience as an excuse. He was like, I'm coming to your house. And I was actually a little bit uncomfortable because I didn't know who he was. And that was a bit out of my comfort zone. But because he had such posture, and he was, you know, he was 24 or something at that time, earning, you know, what I was earning in a month. And I was like, okay, well, I'll hear what this kid has to say. And then it was kind of like, once he came to my house and I met him and he drew all that out and painted that vision, it was just, you know, it was like, let's do this and let's get serious.
Wow. Powerful, powerful, powerful. What a huge lesson for all of us, and a great reminder for me. I mean, it's, again, the power of that three-way call, allowing someone else to be the expert. Again, it's a lot of times you may know someone, you know them too well, and they just can't hear what you have to share. Or it's someone, as you said, that hairstylist that really was just getting going and really wasn't as confident as Jackson, nor getting the success, but she was coachable in actually getting him on the phone and allowing him to do the work. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want someone from your support team to do the work? I mean, you'd be crazy not to.
Absolutely.
So what happened in the first month for you and Bruce?
Well, we had an amazing product experience. I lost 4.5 kilos. And Bruce, I was so upset, Warren. Bruce lost 13 kilos. He didn't even want to do it. And then he goes and loses, like, more weight than me. I was so upset with him.
Wow. Now, put that in perspective for our North Americans, 4.5 kilos, you're talking almost about 10 pounds. And Bruce dropped almost 27 pounds in a month. I mean, you guys had to have been excited. Like, oh, my goodness, this stuff really works.
Oh, yeah, it was. We had an incredible, and it was so much more than just the weight loss. We lost 160 centimeters combined. We were sleeping like I've never slept in my life, and still 2 years later, we were happier, healthier, you know, people, and so excited by how we were feeling, and that just poured into all the conversations we had and set us up for huge success in that first 3.5 months in our business.
Okay, let's delve a little bit deeper. So, I mean, you guys are excited about the results. You're sleeping better. You just seem happier. And then you just said in that first 3.5 months, it was like you were bringing that into conversations. Can you? And I know we're going to talk about overcoming objections, but how were you? What do you mean you were bringing it into conversations? Just expand upon that for our listeners.
Look, the day I ordered my pack, I didn't just commit to my health. I was 100% committed to success in this business. I did not screw around. So, you know, I started talking to people the minute Jackson left my house. And I started doing that through Facebook, which we're going to do another call about, which would be awesome. Can't wait to share all those tips. You know, I was sharing my enthusiasm, my passion, excitement for this, what I had said yes to. And then over the course of that 30 days, then I actually started to feel good and lose weight. And I really felt good about myself. And it just showed in my, the way I posted, the conversations that I was having. And I think in that beginning stage, you're so excited that you can't help but share it with people. And you haven't overcomplicated it at that point in your journey. So I was just like, came out of the closet loud and proud about everything I was doing.
And that's so very, very true. I mean, I heard you say it, like enthusiasm. I can hear it in your voice right now, 2 years later, the enthusiasm, the excitement. And I mean, that becomes contagious. People are drawn to that kind of energy. They really are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you know that from timeshare. Now, let's jump into it because we have a real cool topic. And I mean, the one thing that I've been reflecting on and just really thinking about is your view of objections. I mean, you're one of the few people that I've come across that you actually view objections as being beneficial. How the heck is that possible? Instead of someone saying yes to you, I'm giving you objections and you think that's a good thing. I mean, please help all of us understand that thought process.
Look, definitely, I am actually looking for objections. I want to get the objections out of the way as fast as possible. And when I've got someone giving me objections, I'm like, I've got a live one. This person's buying. And it comes obviously from my experience and being taught, you know, in timeshare industry. But if, you know, my intention with everyone, if I could leave this call just going, oh my God, when you've got an objection, what an objection really is, it's your prospect asking you for more information. They are giving you, this is where I'm stuck, and they're asking you to overcome it. They're asking, this is my objection, and I want you to overcome that. They're actually asking for that. So if we could change the way we see it, because most people get an objection and they automatically shut down and think their person's not interested, and they give up, or they stop the conversation, or they don't go further. And I promise you, if you looked at objections and got excited and was like, oh my God, I've got a live one, and gave them the information to overcome it, then you will have a lot more yeses in your business.
I love it. Isn't that almost with anything? It's all about perception, right? Some people perceive things that happen in the world as a detriment. But in reality, like as one door closes, another door opens. And here, again, you're saying that these objections truly are people asking for more information. And it's actually giving you permission to overcome that objection. I like that. Again, it's all perception.
Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest fear is having a conversation where they're giving me no objection. Because then it's like I'm not really finding out what's going on. They're not really being honest with me.
Now, what would be some of the questions that you would be asking people to, like, you know, you talk and as you said, they're really not biting. What are some questions that Crystal asks people that when you engage them in conversation that causes them to open up?
Look, I think it's just third level questioning. So, you know, when you're kind of talking to someone, they're giving you one word answers and you're not really getting on a deeper level with them. It's just, you know, my personality type is I like to call the pink elephant in the room. So I could, if someone's not opening up to me, I'll say, look, I really want to be able to help you, but unless you're really honest with me about what's going on with your health or what's going on in your lifestyle, I can't truly help you. And try to break down their barriers to find out what's really going on. And once you're in that kind of zone and frequency with someone, that's when they start to say, you know what? Well, I'm really worried about this, or this is what's stopping me. And then, you know, okay, cool, they've opened up, they trust me. They trust me enough to tell me, you know, why they're not saying yes or what's stopping them. So I think just kind of going, just being honest just with them and asking them, you know, I don't feel like you're being honest with me, or I don't feel you're really opening up. Without this information, I can't truly help you, and I really want to help you.
I love that. I really want to help you. I think that's what good communication's about, right? I mean, as you said, like just the one word answers, you're not getting deep enough. And what you're saying is when you're getting that resistance, it's to delve deeper and really show them that you care. Because as Michael Klaus would say, people need to know, like, and trust you before they're going to join you. And that's when you show people that you really care, obviously that opens them up.
Absolutely.
Neat. I like that. I absolutely like that. Now, the other thing that you're really big on, Crystal, and just, I guess it's the distinction between objections and excuses, because you're talking to people and you get resistant, and you may be actually getting an objection where they truly want to understand something better, but other times you're getting excuses. Can you sort of explain the difference and how you talked about the objection, how you're going to turn it around, but when you get those excuses, one, identifying the difference, and then two, how do you deal with it when you do get that excuse?
Yeah, great question. So, look, obviously an objection to me is a positive sign. It's your prospect asking for more information. An excuse is a weak reason or a polite effort on your prospect's behalf to end the conversation, end the presentation, and exit. You know, they're really giving you nothing. So, like, some excuses sound like, when someone says, and they're brushing you off, send me some information. You know, you're trying to have a conversation. It's like, just send me some information. That's them brushing you off. I'm not really interested. They're not really going to look at it. Yeah, I'll take a look. Nah, it's not for me. Not interested. You know, I need to check with my partner. That can be an excuse. And it can also be a legitimate reason. But I'll tell you what, most women will buy what they want to buy when they want to buy it. So I usually view that as an excuse. I haven't quite, you know, got them to where they needed to get. I didn't show enough value. If I'm coming up against that, I don't have time or I'm too busy. So to me, they're all excuses. And again, if it comes back to you're at surface level, they don't like, know and trust you. They don't trust you enough to tell you the real reason. And the real reason might be they have made the presumption that it's too expensive for them or they won't be able to afford it. So that's excuses are, to me, different, and sometimes again, like just having an open conversation and saying, look, I can't help you unless we can have a conversation, or leaving it be, coming back. What I would say, if you're getting excuses, your prospect may feel that you're in it for you and not them. So maybe sometimes leaving it and coming back and rebuilding the relationship and coming from a space of service.
I love that. I love that. Because a lot of times if you are dealing with people that you know, you already have a bit of a relationship with, that obviously they're sort of blowing you off. It could be the perception. And again, the industry of network marketing, some people do have the perception of, you know what, you're just trying to make money from me, Warren. Right? You're just in it for yourself. And some people have that perception. What I like to do when that happens, Crystal, is actually, let's say I do have them try the product. Right away, I'd be introducing them to you. And now all of a sudden you're saying to, hypothetically, Amy, you're going, Amy, this is what happened to me. She feels your excitement. And, you know, you have any concerns or questions, give me a shout. If you can't reach Warren, I'm really here to support you. And then I'll introduce Amy to somebody else. And now all of a sudden when there's two or three other people, other than Warren, who she has this perceived idea that I'm trying to make money from her. She has these three other individuals that are wanting to help her. All of a sudden, everything shifts. I mean, it's really powerful. And that goes back to, as you said, it's coming from a place of service.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Three-way calls. Definitely. That's fantastic.
Okay. I like that. Now, the other thing that I guess it comes from the timeshare industry, you're really big on the numbers. Like, just understanding the numbers, and that in the timeshare industry, you need to make so many presentations to get a yes. Same thing with network marketing. You need to make so many presentations to get a yes. I mean, we know that. It's almost in any sales process, but so many people get, they tell someone about it the very first time, and all of a sudden, like, they say, no, oh my goodness, I'm no good at this, and they give up, they quit. I mean, do you want to talk about the numbers a little bit to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I recently shared this a bit on a training. It just kind of blew people's mind when they really got it. It's a very similar concept to follow-up. People will, after the seventh, follow-up and things like that. So 44% of people, and this is an isogenic stat or a network marketing stat, this is a sales stat, 44% of people give up after their first objection, 22% after their second, 16% after their third, 10% after their fourth. Only 8% of people will continue the presentation after the fourth. And the kicker here is, Warren, 73% of prospects will buy after you have overcome their fourth objection. And 44% are giving up after their first. So it's just, you know.
I mean, that is huge. And you're just telling people this is a sales profession statistic. You overcome four objections, 73% of the people that you're exposing to it are going to decide to buy. I mean, that's massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, now that all of a sudden changes things. Instead of me getting that first no and going, it doesn't work, all of a sudden Nancy tells me no, and I realize I need to overcome four objections. She's going to have to tell me four times, realistically, before I'm going to get a yes. I mean, it's 73% of the people are going to say yes after I've overcome the four objections. Now, as one of our listeners, knowing that, as you talk to that person and understanding the process that you're going to have to go through, when you get that first objection, it doesn't mean it's game over. The second, the third, or the fourth, right? It's part of the process. And that's really important to understand because it changes everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that. I really like that. Now, because, I mean, obviously, you've gone 4-star Golden Circle. You and Bruce are making great, great money. I mean, you're talking about 60 cycles a week plus times 60 Australian dollars. It's like 3,600, 4,000 a week. I mean, that's pretty good money coming in. So you're building a team. How do you explain that to your team where they get it? I mean, you just said the numbers there, but, like, how do you really get them to get it? Like do you just say that sentence and it's done? Or is there something else that you do with your team members to really get them to understand it?
Well, I explain that. Once I explain to somebody that an objection is a positive sign, then they usually change their, you know, the way they feel about it, and their energy changes around it. So they're not closing up when they get them. But I also wanted to create something that was easy for them to follow, because I'm big on formulas. I think that once you know the formula to anything, algebra, anything, you can get an A plus in that. So I created like a little formula, and obviously coming from sales, I'm used to like the processes and sales steps and all of that. So I created like a little formula for my team, how to overcome the objections, that when they have one come up, then they're like, okay, this is the process that I need to follow. I've got my first objection.
Ooh. Okay, so you just said you have this little formula to overcome objections, and you train that to your team, and consequently you're making like $15,000 to $20,000 a month. Would you mind sharing that little formula?
Absolutely.
I'd like to hear it.
So step one is feel felt found. So whatever your objection is, you know, I understand how you feel. I felt the, you know, relate to them basically. Feel felt found. And I've got some examples that we can go through. Step two is ask questions to find out exactly what they mean. Because most of the time you're getting, like most of the time people get a price objection, or someone will say, oh, that's not affordable. And they just go, oh, okay, cool, start talking about smaller packs. But that could mean 100 different things. So you've got to ask questions. Okay, tell me more about that. What exactly isn't affordable? Go third level questioning to find out exactly what they mean. Because usually your objection is actually wrapped up in other little objections. And you've got to unwrap it, peel it back to get to the real objection. Step three is use the information that they've given you when you've asked those questions to overcome the objection. Step four is ask a question that leads them to a yes response. Every time you overcome, and you're going to overcome on average four to get a yes, every time you get an objection, you follow those steps, and step four is so crucial that you ask a question that you know is going to get a yes answer. The more yeses you can get throughout your conversation, the more you're going to get a yes when you ask them, would you like to buy today? Would you like to start today? So that's really important.
Okay, I get it. I get the feel, felt, found. I get asking for step two, ask for questions to find out what they really need. Step three, use the information they've given you. Okay, I get that. And now you're saying ask question that leads to basically a yes response. Well, hang on a second. How do I do that? I want to delve deeper into number four, because you're telling me ask a question that I know guaranteed Nancy's going to say yes to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. So once you've got the objection, you've asked the questions, and you've gone to step four, and you're on step four. So it could be simple as, did that answer your question about the shape? ? Yes. Can you now see the difference between, this is an example, now see the difference between isogenic shapes and the ones that you can buy from the chemist? Do you see the difference in quality? Yes. Awesome. Continue the conversation. So once you've overcome it, you need to get a yes from them to know that you actually have overcome it. If you don't close it off, then it's still an open objection. So once their objection was something about the shakes, I've followed the step, and my last thing is, so did I answer that question about the shakes? Do you feel more comfortable now knowing that these shakes are much better quality than the stuff that you can buy on the shelf at the shops? They're going to say yes. Fantastic. We've ended that objection. We're moving on to the next step.
I love that. That's powerful. And again, guys, these are just skills that as you become a professional in this industry, a network marketer professional like Crystal and Bruce, the reality is you can develop these skills also. I mean, that's why you're listening into this call, right? You want to be taking notes and then practice what Crystal's sharing. I mean, again, as she said, this is just a formula. If you learn the formula and then you practice the formula, guess what? You're going to get good at it. And that's what this is all about, getting better at what we do as a profession. Now, Crystal, you say that there's really only a few objections that will actually prevent someone from joining. Or there's only like one or two like that will prevent someone from joining. Do you want to deal with those right up front?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to share this because I feel like a lot of people think a lot of the objections that they're getting they are unable to overcome. So why I'm going to share these with everyone is so that you know that these are the only three. Everything else is overcomable. Everything else can lead to a yes. So the first one is medical. Okay. Obviously, if somebody has a medical condition, they've gone to their doctor and they've been advised against isogenic for whatever reason, then that is something that you don't overcome. You know what I mean? Like it's compliantly,
yes.
It's not something you can overcome. The second is location. We're in, you know, 13 countries and we're growing. So if they're not in a location where we can actually provide isogenic, then obviously that's an objection that you can't overcome. And the third is religion. You know, for some people, you know, I know in Australia, I think you've got kosher and things like that as well, or halal. So that could be a religious reason that stops them from using isogenics. They're really the only three things that could possibly stop somebody.
Okay. Makes sense. And I mean, when I think of that, you're spot on. I mean, medical, I mean, we're not in England, so consequently we can't sign someone up in England or have someone join us in England. And then if there's a religious belief where, for whatever reason, someone can't take these products, it's pretty hard to overcome that. So, okay, I got it. So you also have a secret formula for overcoming objection. Do you want to share that with our listeners? Because if those are the only three objections, what I'd like to do is sort of go over some of the objections that come up quite frequently and implement your secret formula to overcoming them. So what's the secret formula you teach your team in overcoming objections?
Well, that's just a formula that we just spoke about, the four-step formula of the feel, felt, sound, ask questions. So would you like me to give you like an example of what I might say
in
that conversation?
Sure. Well, then why don't we take this? A lot of people will get, it's real easy, it costs too much. So
yes.
Why don't that role play that? You know what, Chris, I'd love to do it, but it costs too much.
So this is funny, because for me, there is no such thing as a price objection. It doesn't exist. A price objection is always something else. So it's, for me, and this is funny, I don't actually have an example of this, because how I teach my team is if you're getting that at the end, because the price is always given last, okay, and if you've done all the work that you're meant to have done and someone says to you, it costs too much, what they're really telling you is I don't see value in what you've just shown me. They're not telling you that I don't have the money to purchase it. They're saying I don't want to purchase it. So that's a very, very tough objection to overcome at that point. You've got to work out, and you should know throughout your presentation that you're still at surface level. And you should know that that's going to come up. If that makes sense, it should be a vibe and a feel you get. So if someone's saying to you, you know, it's too expensive, I can buy it cheaper elsewhere, I don't want to buy it from you or your company, I want to go somewhere else, I'm not convinced, I don't have the money, I can't afford it, really at the end of the conversation, I would be asking, okay, well, it's too expensive, let's go back. You know, you told me that you wanted to lose 10 kilos. You told me that you wanted to be able to run around with your children and that's affecting your relationships and all this stuff. So now you're telling me that the cost of the product is too expensive. Well, what about this? What about your relationship with your children? You know, what about how you wake up in the morning and feel when you look in the mirror? Can you really put a price on your health? Can you really put a price on being to be active with your children? You really put a price in looking in the mirror every day and feeling really good about yourself. So I would kind of hit them hard with the emotional stuff at that point and snap them out of the bullshit they're telling me. Sorry for swearing.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, that's posture, and I've taken that stance myself. But again, for a new person, that could be almost pretty scary. But the reality is going back, if you've asked the questions up front that Crystal is saying that she's teaching her team to do, and she's trying to teach all of us, is she's finding the hot button. And the hot button is maybe that mom wanting to be able to jump on the trampoline with her kids. It's or a dad kicking the soccer ball around and being active with his kids. And all of a sudden, the person's saying, no, I can't afford this. And then you're basically hitting them square between the eyes and going, what do you mean, Warren? Is it important for you to be able to run around with your boys? I mean, like, that's not a priority? I mean, where do you put the value on that? I mean, all of a sudden, it's sort of like I'd be a big gulp and going, ooh, yeah, you got a point there. I mean, that's strong.
Yes.
And you're literally saying to do that.
Yes, absolutely. What that is as well is that's their dominant buying motive. So that emotional reason is the reason that they are going to buy. That's what they paid $2,000 for. Price does not matter when you know the dominant buying motive. So for me, a goal is someone wanting to lose 10 kilos. the dominant buying motive is a reason they want to lose 10 kilos. So if you can, so if someone who's new and that's, you're like, oh my God, I could never say that. If you are truly coming from a place of service, then you will say that because that person told you that they, you know, for example, can't play with their children and that's making them depressed or what have you. So if, how could you not say that to them? Like you would be doing them a disservice by going, oh, okay, cool, okay, thanks. You need to go there. That's your job.
Wow. Again, coming right back to the very beginning, Crystal, it's that coming from a place of service. And I think all through the buying process and in overcoming those four objections, if you're always, if I am always coming from a place of service, how can I help that person? And that's my mindset, is really trying to serve that individual. Then as you just said, how can't I say it? Because it's no longer about me. It's all about them playing with their children.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's good. There's a reason why you went 4-star in under 2 years. I mean, this is, and again, what Crystal is sharing is skills, guys, something that we can all master. Does it take effort? Yeah, but that's okay. The cool thing is as you go along, you're going to still earn, right? Crystal didn't all of a sudden start and then 4-star. She started and she went manager and director and executive and went 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star. So as she was refining her skills in this profession, she was getting compensated, but she's also been getting better and better, right? She's taking her background in selling timeshare, the skills that she developed there, and now she's tweaking it and implementing it here. But the big thing, I think the big takeaway I'm taking from you, Crystal, it's all about service in our company. If we're trying to serve people and make a difference, that's where the gold is.
Yeah, absolutely. I share with my team as well, like when I do this training on objections, because I know for a lot of people listening, you might be like, oh, like I have superpowers or something. And, it's like I have read a lot of books. You know, I've put the time in to learn this skill. I've put the time in to learn how to overcome objections. It wasn't something that I was, born with. So, if you're someone who struggles with objections, then you just need to put aside the time. And, there's so many amazing books. There's so many amazing podcasts. There's so many amazing trainings. Like I have learned everything. But I'm disciplined in putting aside that time to train myself to get better every day.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to throw this out at you. Top 3 books. Go.
Oh, okay, cool. So in relation to this call, Secrets to Closing the Sale, but it's actually on my desk right now, so I was like, thank God you asked that question. Secrets to Closing the Sale by Zig Ziglar. Okay, it's one of my
favorite. Secrets to Closing a Sale or the Sale?
Secrets of Closing the Sale.
Okay, Zig Ziglar.
Okay, Zig Ziglar. Honestly, one of the best books that you can all get if you want to learn how to overcome objections is actually Sound Concept and Susan Flies, Overcoming Objections. There's a whole book of examples and how to overcome it, So that's a brilliant book that is actually by Susan Flies. And then my next one, I think for network marketing, which really, really helped me, was Building an Empire by Brian,
Brian Carruthers.
Carruthers. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to spell really well to be good in this business.
You know what? Brian Carruthers' book, Building an Empire, is like the Bible of network marketing. I think it's the best book on this profession in the marketplace today.
Absolutely. It's so easy to read.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because he's a friend, guys. I'm saying that because he makes over $2 million a year. He's been in the profession. He's done the do, right? I mean, he's mastered the skills, and basically he's laid it all out for all of us. So great, great recommendations. Thank you. Now, real quickly, there's some other. We get price objection. What about if you get I already eat clean?
Yes, I think a lot of people get this in Australia. I'm just going here, I've got my notes on it. So again, so what, when someone says to you, oh, I already eat clean, like what does that even mean? So I'm going to go third level. For me, when someone tells me that, what that means to me is they don't understand my product. And, or it's just an excuse, they're brushing me off. Or they might be already on a diet, or their PT told them otherwise. So you need to find out what that actually means. Oh, okay,
Wouldn't it be a lot of times, sure, you say, tell me about it. Well, I eat organic foods, and you know what? Like, I already eat clean. Like, I mean, I'm buying organic meats, I'm buying organic vegetables, I'm eating clean. I don't need this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is like a script, so I'll just kind of read this out. This is how I, you know, this is one way I would overcome it. You know, I understand how you feel. Before I did my research, I felt the same way as you. I honestly thought that eating clean was enough. But then what I found was that even though I was eating clean, I was still low in energy, not sleeping properly. I generally just didn't feel like my body was functioning at optimum level. It was very frustrating, and I was doing everything that we're told to do, regular exercise, drinking water, and eating clean. I didn't understand why my body wasn't feeling the way it's supposed to feel. And then I started learning about the toxicity in our environment. Do you know much about that? So I'm taking the conversation, I'm leading the conversation where I want it to go, because they're telling me they already eat clean, but it's not about food. It's about how our food's produced. Even if you're a raw, organic, clean eater, you are still living in a toxic environment. So they don't really understand what the purpose of our product is. So now I'm going to lead them down that way. Most people are going to say no.
Wow. Love it. Okay. What about, like, I don't want to eat shakes. Like, I don't believe in eating processed foods, Crystal. I don't want to do shakes.
Yeah, very good. So, again, you need to ask what they mean by, like, ask questions to find out, because that could mean that they're dairy intolerant. So they go, oh, no, I don't do shakes, because their assumption is that most shakes are dairy, it's going to upset them. So if you ask those next questions, then you're going to find out the real objection in the objection, which is they could be intolerant to dairy. And then that's very easy to overcome. Oh, no problem. Our shakes are 99.9% lactose-free. So just kind of asking those next questions. Here's an example for you. I found that the isogenic shake, so this is the most objection I get, is that people have tried other shakes. They've gone to the chemist, they've bought Celebrity Slim, they've done that for 2.5 seconds, hated it, and then it's like they've you know, no more shakes the rest of their life is basically most times what I get. So this is how I overcome it. I found that isogenic shakes to be unlike any other shake that I've tried, and that's because it's not really a shake diet. It's so much more than that. It's really more of a wellness system, and one component of that system is our wellness smoothie. I can't really call it a shake because of how much, it's so nutrient rich. It's 240 calories, and I just kind of go through and really build the value in our shake. And then I ask them, you know, now that you know, really the kind of the nutrients and how amazing our shake is, and I'll compare it to the shake that they're talking about that they've done, because I've done a lot of shakes myself. Do you see now that isogenic isn't a shake diet, but it's really not like anything else you've ever tried? And then they will usually say yes, and I go, great, awesome, and we continue our conversation. So it's not really hard, it's just being, it's not being scared of them. And I think if you have really, it comes down to you having a 10 out of 10 belief in your product. So there's no objection anyone can give me about our product. I'm like, going to overcome it. I believe in these products. And I just know that they just don't know yet. They don't have the information. So I know I can give them that information, or send them a tool, or get them on a three-way call for someone else to give them that information. And once they know, they're going to be excited to start. That's kind of just how I enter every conversation.
Oh, love it. Love it. I mean, you're good. I'll tell you right now, you're an isogenic millionaire in the making. You are.
Thank you.
Like, I'm telling you right now, you stick with this, I guarantee you, you're going to become an isogenic millionaire. There's no way you can't. You've refined your skills, and I heard your beliefs. right? I heard at the beginning when you were talking, it's all about that enthusiasm and excitement that's drawing people in. And now I'm hearing this unequivocal belief. And guys, borrow Crystal's belief. I mean, our products are not up for debate anymore, guys. We did almost $900 million last year, almost $1 billion in sales. You don't do $1 billion in sales if you don't have a good product. I mean, we have an exceptional product. Borrow Crystal's belief when you speak about our product. They're the best of the best. I mean, there's a reason why Australia's cyclist, Shane Perkins, I mean, he's favored to win Olympic gold, and the Olympics coming up, uses Isagenix. He uses all the products. I mean, I spent 3 days with him. He believes unequivocally in Isagenix, and a big part of it, a huge shout-out to Dr. Michael Colgan, because Dr. Michael Colgan, because of who he is, was able to get Shane over the big leap of faith to actually use Isagenix, and it's been remarkable, his results. Okay, so last objection that you say, the big four common ones, and it's sort of the toughest one of them all. What do you mean by that?
This is the one that I hate getting. I call it agreeable owl. So agreeable owl is the toughest prospect of all. He is someone who doesn't object to anything. He's just yes, 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 yes. Smiles and nods, agrees, seems interested in everything you're saying. And then when you finish your presentation and you ask agreeable owl, we like to join. He's like, sorry, I'm not interested. I'm sure people have had that where you're like, oh my God, they just, what happened? Like, what happened? You get blindsided. He's like, why did you say no? That is the toughest. So if you're in a conversation with somebody and you are just getting yes, yes, you're at surface level, you're nowhere near it. You know, if you're not getting objections, you don't have a live one. You know what I mean? There's we used to call it in times a lay down. In 1 in 100 people would walk in, sit through the presentation and say, I'm buying today. Everyone else is giving me 1,000 objections and it doesn't happen. So if you're getting someone who's not giving you anything, then you're nowhere near. Don't even ask them. Don't even bother asking them if they'd like to join. I usually, if I've got that and they usually wanted a price, they're like, what's the price? I never, ever, ever, ever give the price until I know I've got their objections out of them. So that's the hardest. It's a bit of a trick one. But the reason a lot of people come up against this, and that was a huge breakthrough for one of the beautiful ladies in my business. They own a health business, and she's been coming up against this. And people are usually just being polite. Do you know what I mean? They like you too much. They respect you too much. So they don't want to give you their objection. So they're just being polite. They're saying yes, send me some information. And then they're just like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not really interested. And it's so far gone at that point that you really can't find out why they're not interested. You have no idea because they've just told you yes for 45 minutes. Does that sound relatable?
No, I get it. And that happens to all of us. But I guess here's the learn. Again, typically we don't close the person right off the bat. So if you're chatting with someone and they're seeming really good and that happens, I mean, I would say, you know what, let it go. Let it go for now. But then when the opportunity presents itself this time, why not leverage the three-way call? Leverage Jackson, leverage Crystal, leverage Lynn Hagedorn, leverage somebody and allow them, right?
Yep.
Leverage somebody else and allow them to help you.
Wow, and you can also do things like trial. Oh, sorry, Aaron, just quickly, you can do things like little trial close. I know that we don't like to use that word. It's just obviously my background. But it could be as simple as, you know, if you're getting a lot of yeses and you haven't actually given any information, you could say, does this sound like something that you would be interested in doing? Does this sound like this could fix your issues? Or ask them a question, a little really soft trial close, so that you're not going through the whole presentation and getting to that point. Because then you'll just find out, oh, no, it's not for me, before you've ever given me information. So that's a little tip.
Right, because if you do that trial close, then you can dig a little bit deeper.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, we could go on talking about this, but Crystal, I can't believe it feels like we've only been chatting for 10 minutes. I mean, you've shared so much invaluable information, guys. I mean, I'm going to suggest that everyone re-listens to this call. Some of you may be going, well, how do I get this call if you're listening live? If you go to takeactionteam.com, that's www.takeactionteam.com. If you scroll down, you can actually register for our team emails. And if you do that, you're going to automatically get this recording sent out to you. Or you can follow us on Podomatic Take Action Team there. And again, you'll get our weekly recordings of the calls. But Crystal, this has been, what a treat. What an incredible treat. And I'm just going to say, hey, with your permission, again, you see how powerful languaging is. Again, that's what Crystal does with Facebook. It's how she does what she does that's generating the results, because we all have the same product. We all have the same ownership. We all have the same comp plan. We all have, like, everything is the same. The only difference is us. And there's a reason why Crystal's generating the results. She has 2 years, gone 4-star. Okay, something's working. So with that, I mean, I'm going to re-listen to this call. I've already got like 4 pages of notes. I mean, you shared so much just invaluable information. I'm going to ask, would you come back and can you and I do a call on Facebook together, because you leverage that. I mean, Facebook's a way to reach out to a bunch of people, but then you draw them in. You get them on the phone. You actually have a real conversation with them, don't you?
Yes, yeah. I love Facebook and I love teaching. So I would absolutely honor to do another call.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to do that. If you're open to it, I'm going to mark it down. I'll give you a shout in a few weeks. We'll get something in the calendar a month, month and a half from now. And I think it'll be invaluable. I can't wait to see you, because you are coming to a celebration in Las Vegas, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there you go for our North American
I'm winning
ISA
Derby. I'm going to win ISA Derby.
You're exactly. So
yeah,
for our North American, yeah, for our North American people, this is your opportunity to meet Crystal in person, celebration. And if you don't have a ticket yet, you want to get it. We're going to have a blast in Las Vegas. So, Crystal, thank you so very much. It's been an absolute treat today.
Thank you so much, Warren. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I can't wait for the next call.
Okay. Good night, everyone, and thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hang on, Crystal. I'm trying to stop the recording.